hospitality and the welcome of stranger. And I think the PowerPoint will come up in a moment. The last verse that Helen read says she gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the guest chamber, is the word, the catalumata. And so they stayed where the animals were in the back of the house. Okay, just a few little things to think about, and it flicks through quite quickly, Jeff, but I'll pause between. If your home, so where you've come from this morning, probably unless you're staying with friends, if your home has something other than a dirt floor, you are in the top half of the world's population. The next slide, please. If your home has a roof, a door, windows, and more than one room, you're in the top 20%. The next slide, please. If you have refrigeration, you're in the top 5%. Pardon? Oh, ignore that. Thanks for the fault. It's 5%, not 1. The next slide, which hopefully has the right figure on. Okay, if you have a car, a microwave, a video, a computer, and your toilet has a cubicle door, then you are in the top 1%. So 5% of the world have refrigeration. And they may have refrigerators, but of course if there's no electricity, it's not a lot of good. Okay, we'll leave it on that slide just for a moment. Now, you and I don't have to have a large and luxurious home, though most of us do, compared to the rest of the world, have large and luxurious homes, to be able to show hospitality to others, and especially to stranger, because that's what hospitality means, love of stranger. Hospitality isn't just about looking after people like us that we know and like. So each of us can show hospitality. The hospitality of the humble and even the poor, as we know, often overshadows the welcome shown by the rich and the comfortable. I think that's pretty much agreed on by many people. And Christmas is a very good time to think about showing and receiving hospitality. Not just at Christmas, but all the way through the year. And as followers of Jesus, which is why we're meeting here today, it's very important to be able to receive hospitality as well as to offer it to other people. There's a gracious way to receive hospitality people show to us. Jeff and I have already received a welcome and hospitality at my brother and sister-in-law's house. And throughout the year, we've received it in many people's homes, or people have treated us and shown welcome to us. And the Bible, I'm sure you agree, is full of exhortations about showing and receiving hospitality. And the Christmas story, if you start to think about it, is just full of examples of hospitality, both giving and the reverse flow of receiving. Now, it's not always true that what is given out comes back to you, because we are told to offer hospitality even to those who cannot invite us back. That's the sort of value system we're called upon to have. And it was Jesus that developed that value system. But if you think about the Christmas story, the first person we think about is Mary and the hospitality that she showed and the love to Jesus. Mary welcomed the message and received the approach of the Holy Spirit and Jesus into her own life and womb. Be it unto me as you have said. But she showed hospitality to God the Son. Joseph, who we often say little of, was enabled to change his mind and welcome Mary as his wife, even though she was pregnant with a child who was not his. He overcame his fear of what people would think and welcomed Mary and helped raise Jesus as his son. Elizabeth welcomed Mary, her relative, her cousin, And John leapt in her womb as Mary came bearing Jesus into the house. They welcomed Jesus. Elizabeth and Zechariah gave this newly pregnant young relative, Mary, shelter for 3 months in their home. And she sorely needed that at that time. The angels sang a welcome, not just to Jesus, but to all who would discover peace on earth through him. And the shepherds were invited to go and see the child Saviour, wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in an animal manger. And Egypt, as a country, gave Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus a home when they fled there for refuge. And it is a strong command of Scripture that nations are to welcome those who are in need of refuge. They were in need of refuge from the tyrant Herod. He did not welcome the news of the child born to be king of the Jews. So we have a challenge today. It's a very simple message. The challenge to us throughout the year is what welcome we give to Jesus, but also what welcome we give to strangers. Perhaps you and I will receive the chance to offer welcome or support to a struggling young family, or perhaps to refugee families. This may be the matter, one of the matters over which we will vote on, even in the next year. Jesus is clear in one of his parables about judgment that we will inherit the kingdom blessings according to our welcome of those strangers in need. We can read that in the prophet Malachi as well. But in Matthew, it says, "The righteous will answer him, 'When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these members of my family, you did it for me.'" So what welcome do we give to Jesus and those in need? We are to welcome strangers. The Bible calls them sofas. Strangers, outsiders, foreigners and aliens. However lacking in status they are. So not just the ones that have the money and so on. We are to welcome them if they are part of God's family. But we are also to welcome strangers, as Jesus did, who are not yet a part of that family. Why? Well, because Jesus welcomed us when we were strangers to him. Let me just read that to you from Ephesians. "You Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by the Jews, who call themselves the circumcised, remember what you were in the past. At that time you were apart from Christ. You were foreigners or strangers. You did not belong to God's chosen people. You had no part in the covenant which was based on God's promises to his people. And you lived in this world without hope and without God. But now in union with Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies." And as one Quaker said I heard on the radio this morning, our enemies are only those whose stories we have not heard. Those who did not welcome Jesus were numerous. But there were those who simply welcomed him and received him and believed in him. And John said they would be called the true children of God. They became his true children by receiving him and believing in him. We think of those who welcomed him, who showed hospitality. Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John, the shepherds, the Magi, the disciples, and millions of others since then who have become true children of God by receiving and welcoming Jesus, by believing in him. But do we who welcome and receive Jesus also welcome and receive others into our friendship circles and homes? I hope so. I hope it multiplies and what is small becomes bigger. Do we with wisdom and grace welcome stranger and enable them to become friends with us and hopefully with God? The film you need to see, which is about welcome of stranger and fun and delight, is what? Paddington, which is the most fun film but has a deep meaning about the welcome and love of stranger. Now I've told you that, you can still enjoy it. And we were with all the other adults.